Hello and welcome to the NRL Supercoach Champions podcast. I'm Joe Fitz. It's late January and it's about time we started getting serious for Supercoach. And with perfect timing, Mr. Sangster and his band of merry men have delivered the goods. Here with me tonight is a man who's so excited by the news. He's wearing his custom-made Pete Bedell PJs. It's Wilf.
Did you really say Pete Bedell PJs?
I did, mate. Well, I can see them. I can see them. You're wearing them. It's all pictures of Pete Bedell's head on
them. That's not what I expected for today. But look, yeah, I am very happy it's launched. I stayed up for it, obviously. Although staying up in Queensland is not so tough when it's 11 o'clock, technically. So yeah, it's great. Got my team sorted in the end and we're off and running. How exciting.
Yeah, we're off and running. Also with us is someone who has fair reason to suspect all these rule changes are an attempt to stop him storming to back-to-back overall victories. It's the defending champ, Matt. How are you, mate?
Good, Joe. Good.
I'm declining to mention what kind of PJs you're wearing, mate. That's a Wilf exclusive thing for patrons.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. It's a little late at night. I'm, not rocking any PJs.
Very good. All right. Well, obviously, the big news is Supercoach is open and there is a shed load of new details, Wilf, that are really going to shape the game format up this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, that's why we wanted to jump on and celebrate the launch and talk through some of these new changes. Before we jump into it, we're going to get a bit of the old admin out of the way. First and foremost, we've got our Supercoach Champions Unlimited group again. The code is 473698. That's 473698. I'll also chuck it in the podcast description. But yeah, you got to jump into it. The more people we have, it's good for us to kind of keep tabs on how people are traveling. But we expect to have our competition again this year. Some lucky bloke picked up $500 last year, courtesy of us. And also courtesy of Tyler Maid, who sponsored it. So, yeah, we're still sorting all that out, but hopefully we'll be able to announce the proper terms. So that's that first code, 473698. Jump into that. Also got to plug our Patreon. So patreon.com/supercoachchampions, one word. Jump on, basically. Probably the easiest way to figure out what it is you can have a look what we offer for our Patreon. We have different tiers of that you can sign up on. First and foremost, we've got our Champs Discord, been around since 2019. Got a real solid group in there who a lot of us have been there since 2019. But yeah, we've had a lot of success with the Champs overall. I mean, we were just looking at doing some seeded leagues and I realized that you could have finished top 1,000 and you still wouldn't make our seeded champions one league this year. So pretty rough. But yeah, you can be part of that Discord. You can also, get access to exclusive champs only podcasts, articles, and other contributions from longtime champs throughout the season. Of course, we've also got our $500 champs only bonus, which we offer to the highest ranked champ at the end of the season. So obviously, if that person's also in our unlimited group, they pick up a cool 1,000 all up. So yeah, check out patreon.com/supercoachchampions. Yeah, that's enough of that admin out of the way. More excitingly, I mean, Matt, have you already kind of dissected all the new rules? Have you figured out what's going on yet?
I've dissected it, mate. I'm not sure if I've figured out exactly what's going on. There's a lot out there. Four more trades, so might get an extra week into the season with a boost. But there's a lot of different stuff.
So 46 all up now, but we've got to remember we do have 27 rounds of footy with a lot more buys mixed in, given we now have 17 teams, right? So that's going to be interesting to navigate. A couple of other random things. So first and foremost, the head-to-head players, your default 20-team leagues, they no longer play during the big bye rounds. So I think that's a bit of a game changer for head-to-head leagues. And so the regular season for those types of leagues for head-to-head ends in round 22, and then the finals will span rounds 23 to 26. So still the good news is grand final won't be on the final week of the season. So as we expect more and more restings to happen, given especially it's such a long season now, right? 27 weeks of footy.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely huge because, you see it's kind of moving time, that origin period with the big buy rounds traditionally, where, you know, if you're an overall player, you know, you're neck and neck with the head-to-head players until the first big buy. They start to drop away as their strategy changes up. You know, competition for the overall victory, just given that similarity now between what head-to-head teams and overall teams will be, I mean, it's going to be nuts, Matt.
Yeah, I think head-to-head teams may even focus less on those buy rounds, right? They'll be even less inclined to want to get 13 guys on the park. If it doesn't get another win for them in their little comp, I see less need for them to make trades around the buy rounds.
Well, that's interesting. You've gone the other way. I mean, I just would have thought that with the best 13, and obviously we'll go into those details, there's just no incentive to kind of pack your side up. But, you know, maybe with the type of teams that we've got out, particularly for the first buy, it means that head-to-head players will just be happy with 5, you know, or something ridiculous like that. Wilf, do you have a read on it one way or the other?
Yeah, I do feel like, I mean, most head-to-head players would ignore the buys anyway. But it's more the teams that were struggling, you know, on the fringe of the top 8 that needed to win in those extra, jag those extra 1 or 2 wins in the bye rounds to hopefully sneak into the finals. That's where they might, you know, shake things up a little, and they would obviously factor into overall standings if they were somewhere, you know, up the top, but they normally would ignore it. But, you know, by doing that, they actually still do well through the bye period. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to have a huge impact from an overall standpoint. I think the biggest thing, and, you know, we talked about the big buy rounds. So again, this year we're going to have 3 rounds where multiple teams are going to be on buys. So that's round 13, 16 and 19, rather than last year, it was just rounds 13 and 17, where it was massive buys of 8, you know, 8 teams on each buy round there. So it's a little bit more spread out, but in saying that, there's also many other, you know, mini buys that we have to look out for, just like old times. But I think the real game changer is the adjustment they've made to the rules. So we may as well dive into that part where it's now on the big buy rounds, so rounds 13, 16, 19. It's moving from, you know, your top 17, so purely just to a best 13 in scoring. So basically, if you've got, you know, 15, 16, even if you found your way to 17 players, they will only count the top 13 scores for your squad that week. So that's a little bit of a different one, because there's no incentive, right, to get too far ahead of 13 now. You can aim and balance your squad. Maybe you still want to get 14 so that you get like one shot of, you know, a high ceiling guy who may flop. But if you've got another 13 more solid scorers, that player doesn't go into your 17 for that week, right? So there's some strategies you can apply there. But I feel like this is quite a game changer, because it does change the structure of how you might navigate these buys. When they first announced us going back to 3 big buy rounds, I was really excited, because I felt I was above average, you know, pretty good at navigating those 3 big buys in previous seasons. Obviously for me, ancient history, but 2016, I pretty much won because I smashed the buys. Like that's when I streaked ahead, basically. I put 400 plus points on everyone else around because I was just that much better at buy planning and nailed it than a lot of other people. So this change makes a huge difference to me. I don't know. How do you see it, Matt? Because you're fresh, right? You never got to experience that big buy round experience that we had back in the day.
No. So I know you mentioned how much of a game changer it'll be for yourself, Wilf. I sort of have seen a lot of the hate around the actual change today with some of the content creators out there. To me, and I can obviously, being just last year, I can remember, I'm positive, even in the biggest buy round, I still only had 12 players on the park. So I don't think there's many people getting more than 13 anyway with good planning.
The big difference there, though, is because there was 2 big buy rounds, so you had 8 teams on the buy each time. So there's 3 now, and there's not 8 teams on the buy in each buy round. So it's a lot easier to get 16, 17 players on the park, because you've only got maybe 6 teams on the buy or something like that.
Yeah, I think there's 7 on the bye and 5 and 10 teams playing.
Yeah, so there's definitely a lot more opportunity to have filled out a full 17 or at least, you know, 15 plus. So I do know a lot of people were like, well, we hardly got 17 anyway, but it's a lot easier when you have buys spread over that period, plus you've got the mini buys in between. So I do feel it takes a huge element of the strategy out, which again, you know, because that's one of, that was one of my strengths. I miss it.
Well, I think definitely the buy round plotter, you know, usually a forward, a middle forward that'll get you 30 points, which was often an attractive downgrade, particularly for the first buy. That's much less attractive because their ceiling's very low and you want to, you know, pivot to an outside back that might be a one and done kind of person that might jag a try or two. And but yeah, no, I mean, I take the point that you guys think that it'll separate head to head a little bit more because there won't be the incentive for the head to head players to play. I do think that best 13 element means that overall players will be less incentivized to kind of, they're going to be acting a bit more similar to head-to-head players is my vibe, but we'll just see how it plays out.
Yeah, it's because I do think we've got to take into account, yes, the round 13, 16, 19 buys were our best 13, but 14, 17 and 20 are all full 17s, and you've got to factor in origin players who may and may not play the following game anyway. So there's still going to be a mixture of that. So I do get that it doesn't totally eliminate the strategy behind buy planning, but the way I see it is that before you would start making trades in grade, you know, round 6, 7, 8, planning ahead for navigating this buy period, I'd be, you know, trying to save trades knowing I'm going to trade out X number of origin guns because I'd need to get numbers on the park. So, you know, that element is disappearing already for me. I'm much more comfortable going, well, I can afford to hold probably 2 or 3 more origin guns through this period, knowing that I probably only need to aim for like 14 players in each buy round. And that's so much easier than, I mean, I do remember the year I won, I had 16, 17 and 13 for the 3 buys. And I actively, you know, chose to only have 13 for the final buy because there weren't very good players available for that round. So strategically like that, you know, I'm already going, well, I only need to aim for 14 or 15 now because there's no incentive to get any more.
Yeah, and a slight increase in the amount of trades per round. It obviously got the 27 rounds, but, you know, moving from the high 30s, you know, up to 46 now. I don't know. Does that reinforce that the bad behavior of people just wanting to spend trades like it's going out of fashion, Matt, you know, in early weeks? Because, I mean, got more per week than last year, so what could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, I think the early rounds will still see people going nuts. 46 does sound like a big number, and we're used to finishing in round 25, but we haven't seen a round 27 in some time now, I don't think. I also think, Wilf, how you said about the minus buy rounds like 14, 17 and 20 with being 3 teams on the buy, I think that whole period from, say, round 12 to round 20 is going to consume a lot of trades, with going 7 teams on the bye, then 3, and then a full week, then 7 and 3. People are going to burn serious amount of trades through the mid-season there, I think.
I do feel like this introduces a little bit more of, you know, the boost strategy, right? Because that was obviously a new rule from last year. There was a lot of discussion on how to best use it strategically. I think there was an argument to say that it would have been ideal to just smash them out earlier on, get your strongest 17 on the park. And it worked for some super coaches. They'd use that to get themselves into the top 1,000, but then they probably found themselves struggling later when they ran out of trades, right? Because they burned them all through the boosts. Whereas, you know, I think a lot of us that felt that you'd want to have 1 or 2 boosts around about the buy period and also, you know, post-buys, in terms of trying to finalize your squad afterwards. For me, I burnt them all by the second buy, but I do feel that was an interesting strategy towards it. And I feel like this year with the extra buy rounds in between and needing 17, it could be some more incentive to try to space it out a little bit more as well. But yeah, I haven't really worked that out in my head yet.
I think it's going to be a bloodbath, frankly. And it's been, you know, a few years since I wrote the 10 Commandments of Supercoach every year. But I will say that, you know, I used to do analysis in post-World Cup years around resting and injuries. And, you know, you have to remember that a lot of these players, and particularly the players you want in your team, were playing to what, mid-November, late November? Like, we've got an expanded season, which means that, you know, they're starting a little earlier than they usually do. After an extra kind of month and a half of playing, that's brutal for the likes of Teddy, for the likes of, you know, a lot of players that went deep into the World Cup. And I think a byproduct of that, even if they don't get injured, is that they are a lot more likely to be rested, particularly if they're playing Origin and multiple times. We've already seen some of the players getting rested, you know, two Origin players getting rested for 2 weeks throughout the bye. You add, you know, let's say you have 2 or 3 of those, adding to the fact that it's one of those off, you know, not major bye weeks, but you've got three teams there. And I just think it's just, I mean, yes, we've got more trades per week, but wow, they're going to be spent pretty seriously in that period.
Yeah, I think probably saving some trades between, say, round 7-8 to round 12 might be a sensible play this year. Trying to plan ahead, obviously, you know, injuries and suspensions probably could change that quite dramatically regardless, but I do feel like I'm going to try my best. I won't succeed pretty much, but I'll try my best to do it.
Hey fellas, this episode of Supercoach Champions Podcast is brought to you by our favorite producers of ball trimmers, Manscaped, the global leaders in below-the-waist grooming. They're starting 2023 with clear mind and clean balls. And Manscaped wants to help you do so with a special offer. Use the code CHAMPIONS for 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com. Take the leap into the new year and join the 7 million men who already trust Manscaped. So the last thing you want to start 2023 with is being the guy with pubes getting in the way of making it your best yet. The Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0 is the leader of the Performance Package 4.0, or as I call it, the perfect package for my package. Manscaped engineered the ultimate groin and body trimmer by focusing on intelligent functionality and an incredibly comfortable grooming experience. I think confidence is going to be king in 2023. And you know what else I'm confident about? My balls being taken care of all day long after a smooth shave. How can I do this? By using the Manscaped Crop Preserver and Crop Reviver, of course. The Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant to provide freshness for your boys below the waist. And the Crop Reviver, a spray-on ball toner for your balls, featuring soothing aloe and witch hazel extracts for protection. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code CHAMPIONS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code CHAMPIONS.
I just want to go back to the best 13 scoring thing, because I do find there's some interesting points in here that we might need to think about, because I know in the past when we had big buy round, there was always the thought that you'd get a free swing, right, at a vice captain, and you know, you pretty much get two bites of the cherry on a loop on a buy round. The way they set it up is, because obviously it's best 13, right? So it turns out that, so firstly, you need to put all of your players into your starting 17, and then whoever's from your starting 17 gets selected. So I wonder if that's going to mean, I know in the past you could have like an AE outside. So if you had like seven center wings, right? So you got four starters and then three like reserves, and then you might have a spare reserve, that spare player in a different position you couldn't reserve, but you'd get them as an AE in a different position. I wonder if that might not factor in now, because you've got to do the best 17. The other thing they say is that you need to put your captain, vice captain as per usual, right? But if your captain's doubled score is not in your best 13, then their points don't count and you will get your vice captain's score regardless, if that makes sense. So
it does, but it's too big for my tiny brain right now.
What I mean is, like, if you decided, like, you took a swing on a vice captain who there were a potential 150 or 15 score, and they've gone and dropped the 20, right? So they may have dropped the 40, so they're probably still in your top 13, but not a captaincy score you'd like. But then you go and captain someone you feel is safe, but let's say they get knocked out and they score a 5, then most likely that guy doesn't make your top 13, right? If you've got 14 players, so then you'll get your vice captain doubled. So I think that's some of the things that you have to look out for when you come close to the buys in terms of planning, even how you're going to manage your vice captaincy and your captaincy scoring over that period. I don't know. I was just reading that going, oh, that could be a bit of a mess. Like, you'd have to kind of change your strategy around the captaincy over that period.
It's clear. Buy planning was your strong point there, Wilf, because I'm not sure about you, Joe, but I'd never even considered that in such detail, with your vice captain being number 15. And
yeah, I mean, not in January, mate. I mean, you know, Wilf's rain man with that kind of stuff, which is, you know, why it's a good listen, because the stuff that you kind of jot down for consideration a bit later that isn't immediately obvious to plebs like us, mate, or at least plebs like me. I guess you've got a bit of silverware to suggest you're not quite a pleb. But look, I think strategies around the best 13 will be pretty big. But if what, you know, the three of us seem to think will happen as a result of the whole environment changing, which is the increased buys, the, you know, the increased trades and all of that kind of stuff, and I guess an elongated origin period, I think what we've seen, certainly in recent years, is if you get off to a great start, you're in with a shot at overall. And then it's the swings you take off the back of that determines whether you stay in the race. And then, you know, it's as much good luck as good management in many ways amongst the kind of, let's say, 10, 15,000 people who have the skill to win. Does this elongated origin period where you've got the trade boost, the increased things, I mean, does this mean if you're going to risk it for the biscuit, you really just go absolutely nuts and swing for the fences? But I guess the problem with that is that you could equally just fall on your face, Matt.
Yeah. It's definitely going to take a little bit more consideration than we've sort of first thought. And just thinking, it seems like the hardest part might not be the 13 players on the park in the big bye rounds, but the following week that you were mentioning with three teams on the bye and then Origin backups, obviously being coming out of the World Cup, there's probably less likely for an Origin backup. 17 on the park in those rounds is going to be the hard part, and especially with only two trades for each of those rounds and a boost getting you to three, whereas with the big buys being allowed three trades and a boost getting you to four, it's a whole chunk of the season that requires planning, not just round 13 and round 17. I got lucky with my year, I think.
So again, you know, this is the stuff I used to froth, and that's why I always had 17 and on those other rounds, or I'd set it up so that I could get a free swing at a loop or whatever. Like it was good times for me, but that's okay. I still think it's going to be quite challenging, especially if people who, like yourself, Matt, haven't had the joy of, navigating the big buy rounds and the mini buys like we've had in the past. It'll be a new experience for you. So maybe there's still hope for me to claw some ranks up in the buy planning period.
All hope is not lost, Wilf. All hope is not lost.
No, not at all. But other kind of bits and pieces, I guess, that Supercoach have changed, they've added, and this is something we noticed with the BBL Supercoach, but now you can sort through. If you're Supercoach Plus subscriber, you can sort ownership or roster percentage through whether you're top 1%, top 5%, or top 10%. So I know that's something that a lot of players for a long time have requested, because true ownership, like, it was fairly skewed, right? Someone like a Joey Minor might have only been 50% ownership last year, but we knew in the top 1,000 he was pretty much 99% ownership, because surely everyone had Hero Ball on their team, right? Yeah. But yes, I do think that's a bit of a game changer for those who have Supercoach Plus. I think that makes a huge difference in terms of people's research and trade planning and stuff like that. So I think it's a good innovation. Obviously, the crew at SC Playbook had Adam Juicy kind of trawling those numbers, which was, we loved it. I guess News Corp saw that us super coaches loved it so much, they made an official option there. So I do think that's going to help a lot of us as well. I don't think there's any other changes from a classic standpoint, is there?
No.
I don't think I've missed anything here.
I think that pretty much covers all of it. I mean, I absolutely use Supercoach Plus just for the ease in the app, and being able to sort that way is a bit of a game changer for me in doing that. So yeah, it's good that you kind of call that out, Wilf, because it's definitely worthwhile.
I do feel like back in the day, they didn't have the buy planner available in Supercoach Plus as well, and it's going to be a bit of a game changer, I think, having that available now to help us navigate the big buy rounds. I do notice though that they don't include the mini buys, so I think again it means more planning, more awareness of which players you might have that might play round 13, but then they don't play round 14 or something like that. So yeah, there's still going to be some complexities to navigating this period for sure.
Yeah, from a draft perspective, there's, you know, obviously the potential of draft is fantastic, but the apps never really supported the flexibility that a lot of people want to, might be in like NFL dynasty leagues or in other fantasy sports. They're introducing some more flexibility, which is an improvement on last year, which is an improvement on the year before and stuff, but they've got mock drafts, customizable squad sizes, league commissioners can change draft order for picks ahead of live draft, there's selectable emergencies, there's a whole range of new things. So if you've been on the fence about giving draft a try, I do recommend you try and get in at least one with your mates. You might find it's a bit more of a viable option to play this year over Classic, or at least with Classic.
I can't stress enough, I genuinely feel draft may actually be my favorite format, but it's hard to get into it when there's been struggles with the user interface, right? Which is, you know, you pointed out, Joe, it's definitely been where we've lacked previously, but they continue to improve it each season, and I feel like it could be getting to a point where it's actually quite usable. So I can't stress enough, if you've never tried draft, definitely give it a go. It's a lot of fun. It's like a better version of head-to-head, basically, because you don't have you don't have common players. You don't have to deal with that drama.
That's good to hear, because I've just signed up to my first draft league this morning, so I'll be able to give draft a crack.
Definitely. So, yeah, look, if you don't know or you're struggling to find people to join a draft, definitely hit us up on Twitter. We can help with that. One thing for us with our Champs Discord is we've got several draft leagues happening. We've got head-to-head comps. We've got overall cash comps as well. So, yeah, worth checking out if you're not sure about that or you want to, you know, source good dedicated super coaches to actually play in competitive leagues with. For example, our 20-team head-to-head one league last year was the fifth overall ranked league. So even though that was a head-to-head league, really competitive, lots of high scores across the season because they were the fifth ranked league for the year. So yeah, if you want a tough challenge, definitely check that out for sure. Look, I don't think we're going to spend too long this evening going through this. I think the excitement was just to talk through the Supercoach launch and the new rules and things like that. However, look, where are we at with our first draft team? Surely you've got a team made by now, Joe, right?
I've got an awful lot of holes in the team, but I don't think it's terribly different to some of the stuff we discussed. I think Luttrell, Mr. Reliable, Nathan Cleary, Harry Grant are kind of the spine of the team, and we'll just start to keep an eye out for, you know, some of the preseason news around minutes and various things. Things like, I know Ruben Cotter, one of my favourite players to watch, but a favourite in my team last year. He's pretty popular. I think he's the third highest owned front row forward at the moment because he's got lots of growth there. I mean, how is he going to be used for the Cowboys? All the stuff that, you know, some of the preseason news will start to shake out as to whether I chuck him in the squad for round one.
I do know Cam Munster has found his way into my team now with the not-so-positive news for Ryan Papenhuyzen. I mean, I don't know if you guys seen the interview, but he pretty much came out and said, look, I don't know when I'll be playing. Sometime this year, he says. Mm-hmm. He's about to embark on a six-week ongoing kind of exercise training program or rehab program, whatever they want to call it. But it's a six-week thing where he might know at the end of that 6 weeks whether or not he's going to be ready to play, but it just doesn't sound positive. So
Storm are cooked. Like, you know, say what you will about the Dad's army of forwards that left, but if Paps is out, like, wow, there's not a lot of experience there. Obviously Nick Meaney has the potential to be a superstar filling in, but that's an interesting one because I do tend to wonder how many points the Storm are going to score with that kind of talent.
I can see Matt's face, just he's holding himself back.
Fire away, mate.
Rip in
Best hooker in the game, best 5'8" in the game. I don't know what more we need. I don't think it's not all doom and gloom.
Yeah, keep him away from the goal kicking.
Yeah, no. He's the one guy that it's a downside in your super coach team if he's got the kicking tee, isn't it? He is bad.
Yeah,
but you've got Nick Meaney, superstar Nick Meaney, to kick goals there. But look, I probably sit in the middle of the two of you. I'm not as down on the Storm as Joe is, but I'm also probably not as optimistic as Matt might be. I do feel if they don't have Papenhuyzen for a good, you know, 1 or 2 months, it might struggle to make top four. But I think I can't see them missing top eight, honestly. They're going to be too well coached to fall out of the eight. But much of the success of the season will hinge upon Papenhuyzen's availability. I love Munster at fullback, and I think he'll play fullback if Paps is out, but I just think they're a better team with him at 5'8", obviously, overall. But, yeah, we'll have to wait and see on all of that. The other good news is I think Tommy Tobo's trending, expected to play round one, so he's still in my team. And, yeah, I think right now I've got, Munster, I've got Luttrell, I've got Turbo, I've got Harry Grant, lots and lots of guns. I don't have Nicho Hynes. And for a fleeting moment, I took Nathan Cleary out of my team.
And just 11 base price unnamed rookies, hey, Wolf, to make that work for your round one team?
You'd be surprised. Absolutely. I don't have that many base price rookies. I think I've only got three.
Any smokies in your kind of penciled inside, Matt?
No smokies, mate. Nothing crazy. I've slowed down since we last chatted, Wolf. I think I was up to 112 now. I might only be up to sort of mid-120 team iterations. Although I am nervous, as you spoke about using the buy planner tool, I just checked round 13 and I have 8 guys. So we might have to go on to iteration 121.
No, don't worry. That 8 is heaps. I think you only need like 5 or 6. You only need to get to 13, remember?
Stop sinking the chances of back-to-back, guys. But enough of that. Look, there's going to be plenty to dissect. You know, there's going to be lots of online chat about the impact of the rules. I'm sure plenty of people have data to back up various opinions. And you know, when the rubber meets the road, when the trials start, we'll start to see probably a lot more cash cows, given that we've got a 17th team and there's, you know, 30-odd spots for young players that wouldn't have otherwise got opportunities through the year. So maybe Wilf's starting with 11 base price players strategy may pay off this year. But any final thoughts, Matt, before we call it a week?
No, mate, I think we've nailed all the new rules. I am happy with 13 players. That does make me happy, although I can see you frowning, Wilf, through the screen. I'm ecstatic about it, to be honest.
That's all right. I'll come around. I am disappointed still, but only because I was expecting to climb the ranks during that bye period, but I'll still do my best. All good. All right. Thanks for listening as always. Don't forget, jump onto the group code. It is 473698. Check out patreon.com/supercoachchampions. You'll see what we've got to offer there. Definitely for those champs already in the champs Discord, we're starting to roll out head-to-head leagues, overall comps. That's all going to play out in the next 1 or 2 weeks. So yeah, no doubt we'll catch you guys in the Discord. I think we've got another episode or two dropping. We're going to keep working through our burning questions, and then I think we're going to be starting to really dissect the strategy. I'm itching to discuss how we manage not just the big buy rounds, but the kind of early, you know, the rounds 2, 3, 4, 5, navigating those teams on buys, because there's some pretty important teams, right, who might not play rounds 2, 3, 4, and 5. So yeah, I'm itching to dive into that discussion in a future episode.
Also known as the don't start with Tommy Turbo in round 1 because he doesn't play round 2 strategy.
Fake news. Load up on Tommy Turbo. Let's go.
All right, boys. See you next week.
Catches.
Thanks, fellas.